Worth Academy graduate. Because I've designed a plan. Your life plan. The hour of the day of the week of the month of the year of your life. We're not leaving anything to chance.
Now here I am, up here.
You're going to make a wonderful grown-up.
Thank you, Mom. I just wanted to give your drawing back.
You didn't like it?
No, I did.
Once upon a time, there was a little prince who lived on a planet that was scarcely bigger than himself.
I thought I'd never find anyone who wanted to hear my story.
If you please, draw me a sheep. What was a kid doing there in the desert? There was no mention of life on any other planets.
An asteroid. Asteroid B612.
Wow.
And the little prince, he was very fond of sunsets.
Did you finish your study work?
Not exactly. I made a friend.
If you study hard and you stay completely on track with the plan, you can spend some time with your new friend. Next summer.
I finally saw it. I finally found the damn film. Had a screener for it. Finally. For the film, The Little Prince. It was probably my most anticipated film of the year. Because obviously it had stop motion animation in it. And a little bit of 3D, 2D style to it as well. But also because I am a fan of the book now. Because once I found the movie got canceled, because it was supposed to come out last month. It did in Canada, it didn't in America though. Once it got canceled, you know, I heard Netflix bought the rights from Paramount. They're picking it up and supposed to be releasing it later in this year. So I was like, well, fuck it. I just might as well buy the book then, catch up on that. And the book is very thin. So, you know, clearly I was looking at the book when I read it. I was like, what the fuck? How the fuck do you make a film out of this? Okay. And the book was written, author was, what was that guy's name? And I'm going to fuck his name up. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, whatever. Nice little French name, I guess. And this was a book that came out in 1974 that people absolutely love. They say it's one of the literature classics, if you will. I don't know. I was very excited when I got this email that I could see this film. So let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis. And it has themes of the book, but it's very different from the book, obviously, clearly. I mean, because the book wasn't enough to write a whole thing. Here we have a little girl played by Mackenzie Foy. And they don't have any actual names that they go by. She goes by the little girl, like I said, played by Mackenzie Foy. And a lot of the characters here just goes by pretty much their, I don't want to say job title, but close enough to what it is. But Little Prince opens up to present day time. And this whole story is not in the book. It's about a little girl who's pretty much forced to be an adult. She, I guess in a grown-up world, the way they make it seem and stuff like that, she kind of fucks up her interview to get into this prestigious ass school. Her mother preps her and say, let's move, we'll plan for next year. We'll move to this house. The reason why I got this so cheap is because we moved next door to this house, which lived there and there by the old man, aka the aviator, voiced by Jeff Bridges. And you know, she realized that her mother buys her this life plan board where she has to follow her whole life by just to get ready for how to be an adult and stuff like that. And one day, a little paper airplane floats into her bedroom, and it's the aviator, and he's like, hey, you want to read that story? And she just looks at him like, no, fuck off, you pervert, and she closes the door. But then she goes back to kind of reading it once an accident happens, and he gives her a bunch of pennies and shit, and he starts finding, like, the little prince himself, a fox, a rose, and all kinds of elements that are used in the book itself. And she goes back to read the story, and she's intrigued, but it ends on a cliffhanger because it's only a one-page piece of paper. So, you know, she goes to him and wants to learn more about the little prince himself. And I guess that's pretty much the plot synopsis, to be honest, because, you know, if I went any more, it'd be spoiler territory, and I should save that for my thoughts and opinions of that. So, I mean, the first thing I want to say is, I did not mind the changes at all. I know a lot of people, I can say this right now, if you are in love with this book, you will possibly have problems with the changes as well. And I don't even mean there's not necessarily changes, there's just add-ons, if you will. And the add-ons is this little girl, Mackenzie Foy, and her mother, Rachel McAdams, that whole storyline with the aviator, Jeff Bridges' character. You're probably looking for a straight adaptation of the novel itself. So I could possibly see you being mad at that. I know a lot of people that were kind of upset about that. I didn't have a problem with it personally. I didn't grow up with this book. I just recently read it. I loved it myself. But one thing I think that the film does, that the book does really well, is it concerns itself with the question of what is essential. And the book does a lot of that. The opening sequence of the film depicts a word that has been reduced to everything essential. A world of adults sipping around in identical cars, going home to the same gray boxes that they call homes because they all look alike. The little girl in the film looks like a kid at the beginning of the picture, but she is already well on her way to becoming another, let's say, another prop in this larger machine, if you will. And she's on her way to becoming essential in a way. What I like about the movie is at the first 35 minutes, because I counted down, I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know what I was watching here at this point, because I want to say the little boy's story doesn't come in until the 40 minutes. And this movie is about an hour and 40-something minutes. So once you get to the little boy's story, you start to see the similarities to the little boy's or little prince story. To the aviator and the little girls, I guess what they call her in here. Like I said, the mother, played by Rachel Mandler, it's called the mother. Paul Rudd comes in, does an older version of the little prince, and he's Mr. Prince. Marion Cotillard is the Rose. James Franco is the Fox. Benicio del Toro the Snake. Ricky Gervais the conceited man. Bud Cort the King. Paul Giamatti is the Academy teacher. Riley Osborne is the little prince, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the director's son. And the director here, he did the Kung Fu Panda movies. And, you know, the Kung Fu Panda movies, I don't really care for them that much, but they have a very unique art style to them, especially that last one. The animation in there was done beautiful, how they kept going back between 2D and 3D. And I think this movie, one of its excelling moments of it, is how it transfers back from 3D animation to almost a paper stop motion style animation. And I thought that was heavily well done. Oh my God, it was so fucking creative. I almost understand why they probably pushed this back. Pulled this back. The budget on this was about $70 to $90 million, I believe, which is not cheap, obviously. But I just don't see a lot of people almost getting hooked to it as I was. It could be boring for some, and it could be insulting to some that it doesn't follow the main narrative from the book itself. Which, I'm not gonna lie, the book is really short. I read that in almost 2 days, if anything. I think the film is very beautiful. I think it's really touching. The parts where the people that don't like it because it doesn't have enough of the little prince story, I thought that the main story with the little girl and the aviator, or the old man if you want to call him that, in this scene, I thought it was great, especially when he hints little drops in there of, I have to go on a journey without you and stuff. And, you know, it's just a way of dumbing down, because he doesn't want to tell a little girl, hey, I'm about to pretty much die. And you can get the hints of it too as well, because as soon as he said that, he had this look of despair in his voice and stuff like that. And you can tell, okay, something's up. It's more so than, you know, he has to go away. And she's like heartbroken by it. She's like, you're my only friend. You take me away from this world of wanting to be an adult and stuff like that. And, you know, because my mother, she doesn't pay any attention to me. So, you know, he takes her on a drive to go get some pancakes, even though he ain't supposed to be driving. He doesn't have a license. And, you know, her mother gets called. Mother's pissed off saying, hey, you're supposed to be studying, you're supposed to be doing this, you're not supposed to be hanging out with this guy, what's wrong with you? And, you know, that's when the daughter drops some knowledge on her, you know, saying, hey, excuse me, or, you know, because she's saying, oh, you lying, saying it was your birthday, even though your birthday's next week. And then she's like, well, hey, don't get mad at me, because I don't want to live your regime or your life that you think that you want me to be an adult at the age of 9 or anything like that. It got really smart in this scene, too. I was really proud of this moment, too, in the film. And she was just like, because She said that, when are you going to just do what he did and just go up and leave because you work so much? And she's apparently talking about her father, because there's little hints in there of, like, you know, her mother saying, I have to do this for us because no one else will. And the person that did do us, he walked away from us and stuff like that. So I have to work hard and do all this stuff. And, you know, at the beginning of the film, she has all these little snow globe styles of cities and shit like that. And she's pulling them up, and he's like, damn, why'd you got so many snow globes that look the same, too? They got these same building structures in them. And then her birthday came up, and then you see her mother's gift on the table, and then her father's gift is in a box, and it's another fucking snow globe and shit like that. And I was just like, oh, so that's what her father sends her every now and then. And then, you know, I love that they used that city in the snow globe as her imagery of where to find the little prince. Because then after this, she pretty much, you know, because the old man is pretty much telling her, cause she goes back, she gets her suitcase and say, all right, we're taking this plane, we're flying away, I don't want to be an adult. And, you know, the old man kind of teaches her, the problem is not being an adult, it's about, you know, you forgetting what it's like to be a child or a kid at heart, if anything. Really good messages in the film as far as how to be an adult and kid. But he was just telling her, you know, and he's coughing and stuff. He's like, I got to go, and I have to go on a journey of my own, and I can't be hanging out with you. And she gets mad and tells him, I wish I would never heard this story from you. You should never told me this. It's a stupid story. She throws it in his face, and then she goes back home. Next scene you see is an ambulance coming to pick up the old man, and she rides her bike all the way to the hospital, and he's pretty much on his deathbed. He's dying. In her mind, she believes that if she finds the little prince, she can find the way. Well, I guess because the little prince, he helped the little prince, so now she's trying to hope that the little prince return a favor for him. The little prince story, to go back on that one real quick, it's about a little boy who lived on a planet where he was damn near bigger than. It's kind of like King Kai in Dragon Ball Z, planet just like that. And there was a rose there, obviously played by Mirian Cotillard. And the rose and him became kind of best friends. They were the best of friends, you know. But the rose, because they both lived on a planet where it was just those two, the only two living creatures or objects, if you will, they didn't know what love meant or anything like that, or real friendship or anything like that. So the little prince took it as she's just being demanding, and she didn't know how to stop being demanding in a way, because she was asking for it. I love it because she was like, well, she pretty much became a woman and just started asking for too much. So the dude just left her because he took a flock of seagulls and he just flew away, and the rose still talking. He's like, prince, where are you going? Where are you going? He flew away, and he went to all these other space where he finds the aviator and tells him, hey, draw me a sheep, because, you know, a sheep will do this and help me grow a plant, because he's trying to recreate the rose here. And, you know, obviously he runs into the snake, Benicio del Toro, who's the motherfucker. These characters are barely in the film, but they play such a significant role into what happens, because the snake is a treacherous motherfucker. The fox comes in as James Franco, which was really good voice work by him, and pretty much tells him, I'm untamed, you need to tame me. That way it pretty much is like symbolism for the rose and stuff like that, or just in life in general. You know, you tame me, then we can be useful to each other, to where, you know, pretty much if you don't tame me, I'm going to eat your ass. But if you tame me, we can help one another out. And then, you know, he finds a room full of roses and stuff like that, and he's just like, oh, I thought my rose was unique and stuff like that. And it was like, well, your rose was unique because, you know, I belong to you. So therefore, it was your unique rose. And, you know, he tries to find his way back to the rose, but, you know, he kind of fucks that up and get a little lost in the story here. And then, you know, back to the main story where the little girl, she steals the old aviator's plane, and she flies around, and she thought she sees a little boy. She lands in this city that looks just like the city her father created, where it's just nothing but adults. It's the machine. People run. No kids allowed. They take everything fun away from you. And it's a little, it's creative as fuck. They even got the king himself, Bud Cort. They got him doing the elevators, and she's seeing all these kind of imageries and stuff like that that relate to the little prince story. She gets to the rooftop, and she sees it, and it's just, oh, it's not the little prince. It's a grown man who looks just like the little prince. And that's voiced by Paul Rudd, and he's just this janitor who's just so appeased with trying to get approval from all the other adults that, oh, I can be an adult now. And she's trying to remind him of what he used to be. And she kind of succeeds at that in a way, because his memory starts to come back, because, like, the old the line of the movie says, it's not about becoming an adult, it's about what you forget. And clearly they brainwashed him and made him forget everything it was when he was a little prince and who he was in love with and stuff like that. And, you know, the whole time I was just sitting here going like, I don't still get, because at first I thought the movie lost focus, as far as, okay, the little prince story is kind of destroying the, how's this going to help the old man in a way, I guess. But it did come back to that. I was like, oh, thank God, because I was like, all right. But what was so good about the little prince story is it definitely tied in with the original story that's going on. To the point where, you know, she reminds him of his memory and stuff, and as they tried to brainwash her, he saves her. And Ricky Gervais, oh, his character, the conceited man, he's great because they're applauding for the king and stuff like that, and he's just like bowing. He's like, oh, thank you, thank you. He was phenomenal in this film, for the little time he's in here. And his art, his design on him looked creepy as fuck too, by the way. But not in a bad way. It looked really good, but it was just creepy as shit. It looked like a block of clay thrown on top of a body or something like that. And what I liked about this ending is, you know, the stars. This is what the little prince was so fascinating. He was fascinated with sunsets and the stars, because the stars is what, you know, brightened up the day and made you believe that there really was something more out there in the world and stuff. And this whole city is filled with nothing but stars because the king himself, the businessman, that's who it was, the businessman. Instead of being in the business of owning the stars, he took that kind of literally and collected every star and locked them away. She frees the stars, and it really reminds the Mr. Prince at this time who he was and what he can be. And they fly to the planet to save the rose, because once all the stars are released, everything that was imagery out of the book or the story that was being told in the film comes to real life now. You can see the adults see the stars, and it's almost like their childhood light up again. And they go find this planet where they left the rose at. And, you know, I was thinking, this rose is going to be pissed. I mean, this Mr. Prince is a grown-ass man now. So this rose must have been on this planet for a long-ass time. This rose is going to be pissed. And number two, I don't really see how the hell does this help the aviator. How does this help the aviator? So they get to the planet, and Paul Rudd's character is looking, because the planet looks destroyed, and he's just kind of looking, oh, God, I fucked up. And then when they take the jar off the rose looks like it's in great shape and stuff. But it's not talking. So he touches it, and all the rose petals just fall off. And then when he picks it up, it just evaporates in the dust and shit. And then the little girl is crying her tears out. She's just like, and she starts pretty much explaining what the whole meaning of it is too. She's like, oh no, if the rose, you know, can deteriorate like that, that means I'm going to be alone forever, and the old man is going to die, and there's nothing I can do to help him and stuff. And I thought it was just, actually, I'm not going to lie, I almost shed a fucking tear. I was like, oh, God. The little girl's going to turn into one of these machines. No, don't take her childhood away. But then, you know, she's pretty much asking Mr. Prince, how can you not be crying up about this, and you know, this whole overtone of a sunset rise over him and stuff like that. And he kind of looks up at her, well, she looks up finally and sees it herself, and he's just kind of like, that's because I finally understand after all these years, you know, because basically that's what the old man was trying to teach the little girl. The aviator was trying to teach the little girl. It's just that because she wanted a happy ending from the story of the little prince and stuff. When aviator was telling her, she wanted the story of, oh, he finds the rose and they live happily ever after again, the end, blah, blah, blah. And he was pretty much telling her, well, it doesn't end that way quite. And she's just like, oh, but this story is stupid then and stuff. And she's like, well, no, because even though he can't find the rose, he never forgot. So the rose is still special to him because it's in his heart. And it plays a theme message with the story of the aviator and the little girl of saying, even though, you know, he's going to die, try not to forget the good times you guys had. He's always going to be in your heart. So, and that's what Paul Rudd, Mr. Prince, told her. You know, the reason why I'm not crying or in tears right now is because I still remember my rose. The rose is still in my heart, and I still remember all the times we had together that were enjoyable and stuff. The rose may not be here physically, but in my mind, I still see it. It deals with a theme message of how to deal pretty much with death. And I thought that was handled just fucking brilliantly, if you ask me.
So, you know, she returns back to her bed and stuff like that and all that good stuff. The mom wakes up and goes, oh, my God, my daughter's gone. But she's like, no, we're running a little late. I'm brushing my teeth right now. Running a little late. We need to stop at the hospital before my first day back at this huge school here. And she goes to visit the old man, and she finally tells him, I'm so sorry what I told you the last day or whatever. I understand what you were trying to teach me. And, you know, she created a little book of him, of all his notes and stuff for him to read, of the little prince itself. And then the mother, even she's more relaxing now. She kind of enjoys it. And the movie ends with this beautiful-ass score that was done by... Damn, who was the score done by again? Oh, yeah, it was Richard Harvey. Richard Harvey and Hans Zimmer. Now, my talk about Hans Zimmer being overrated is, first of all, he needs to stop doing these fucking films basically that look like Nolan and Snyder films, all this dark and grimace shit or whatever and stuff like that, whatever, because his scores don't sound no fucking different. But here, finally, he did something different. He went into a more colorful pattern, even though it had some serious topics to talk about, the color pattern of it still looked very lighthearted and stuff like that. And he went into this. And I think him, I don't know if it was just because it was Richard Harvey, because he did most of the score, but his team with Richard Harvey was just pretty fucking brilliant, because the score that they had playing at the end of this movie when it ended and the credits was rolling, which, by the way, they rolled a very different way, because usually they roll up, but they rolled down this time. The music in there was just absolutely beautiful. I stayed all the way to the end of the credits and stuff like that. And plus, I was just thinking about the movie itself, how much I liked it and enjoyed it myself. Actually, I'm going to read the book again now just because of the impact it had on me. Because I will say, I don't think it's for everyone, though. I think you might get if you probably haven't read the book, you don't even need to read the book the first time. You might not be all that fascinated with the first couple of minutes. I heard a lot of people were fascinated with the first 40 minutes, which had nothing to do with The Little Prince itself. But I don't know. I feel like some people might get kind of bored in that part itself. Maybe the second act just a little bit as well too, but I find myself loving it from beginning and ending. I thought this lived up to my expectations of when I saw the trailer first, and I enjoyed it. Everything, the acting in here was just phenomenal, especially the voice work here. It was kind of hard not to tell, and especially because I didn't know any of the characters and stuff like that, but I could pinpoint some of them, especially Ricky Gervais. I was like, oh, that's definitely Ricky Gervais. And James Franco, I was trying to listen to him, and you can tell at some moments that it was him as the Fox, but it took me a while to kind of get it as well. I love the subtext in here. I love the commentary it has. I love the meaning it has behind the story. I love how it had something completely different in here from the book, and yet still fit in with the book story itself as well. The animation designs were phenomenal. I thought this was great. It's easily one of my favorite films of the year. It's funny to see an animated film that's not done by Disney that I actually love. And hopefully Leica, one of my favorite animated studios, are coming back this year with Kubo. Hopefully they can do the same, because, yeah, we need to... DreamWorks, Fox, Sony, and all these other people that do anime, they kind of just need to stop, really. No, I thought this film was great. Do I recommend it for everyone? No, I can't. But in that sense, for me, myself, definitely giving this a high C. Enjoyed every bit of it. And actually, shit, might be my favorite movie of the month, to be honest. I know they ain't saying a lot, you know, hey, but Jungle Book was really good. But I'm glad that Netflix picked this film up, though, because I thought it was just going to be lost in the times of, at least for America, because I think it's been released in France and Canada and stuff like that. So glad that Netflix picked this up. Whenever they release it, who the fuck knows, but I really don't give a fuck when they release, because I saw it already. So I saw it. Me. It's all about me. And I saw it, so that's all that fucking matters, is me.
Growing up is not the problem. Forgetting it.
wonderful grown-up.